This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Svetlana Lakova, the author of The Spy Who Changed History, a story of Joseph Stalin dispatching agents of the Soviet Union to the United States and around the world, but chiefly we're looking at what happened in the U.S. in the 1930s to purloin information about the aeronautics industry that was then in its nascent phase of developing high-performance long-range bombers, high-performance long-range fighter craft, all of which would be critical in the success of the Second War. However, she is also the author of Spygate Exposed, which is the story from her point of view of a piece of the Russiagate matter that involved Svetlana and that was, among other things, all deceptive, all falsehood. We're now not addressing Svetlana's piece. I'm using Svetlana's information about all of this. She's very good at following how spies and espionage and sabotage work. To understand the prosecution of Michael Sussman, who's judged not guilty by a jury of his peers, and yet information in the Michael Sussman prosecution has yet to be explained about what happened after the election. Everything in the Sussman trial was about deceiving the FBI before the election in order to get an echo chamber of media, FBI, suspicion, all with what the prosecution called October surprise, before the election. However, Michael Sussman then contacted the CIA, a colleague at the CIA, somebody he knew, in late January 2017, after the inauguration, and visited the CIA or this person at the CIA in February, early February of 2017, to convey, we're told, the same information that he'd conveyed to the FBI, the Jaffe allegation of Alpha Bank being a secret conduit, which the FBI cyber specialist judged foolishness, just falsehood, before the election. So, Svetlana, I know we don't have answers, but you're very good at understanding the scale of these things, and you know I've been bothered by this for some time. Who told Sussman to go to the CIA? Why did he go to the CIA if he was not being paid? What's in it for him?
Well, all fantastically fascinating questions. And at the moment, we have very little answers, although the fact that we're actually aware that that's what he did is another very important piece of evidence that came out from this Durham investigation. Now, despite the fact that the FBI cyber experts immediately concluded in under a day that the data was not reliable and suspicious, as they called it. The seventh floor of the FBI, that would be Comey and McCabe, insisted that the FBI opens the investigation anyway, and they did so in October. And people like Rodney Jaffe, who were also confidential human sources on the investigation, were adding to that and keeping the investigation going. And that investigation ran through all the way into January. And just before Trump was to be inaugurated, they closed down the investigation. The FBI closed down. So despite knowing that there was nothing to it, they kept it open until January, which is, by the way, the very January 17, which is something that happened to numerous other investigations like that. So we know that the FBI were pushing that. And of course, we know that Hillary was pushing it. So the former FBI leadership was pushing it and Hillary Clinton was pushing it. Now, what happens in January, and there's still a lot of puzzles to fill out, is that according to the Fusion GPS account, they met with John Podesta. So he's a Hillary Clinton guy. And John Podesta wants to carry on the anti-Trump thing and the anti-Trump operation. And John Podesta organizes funding because, of course, the Hillary campaign per se, Hillary for America, no longer exists because she lost the election. So now they want to prevent Trump from being inaugurated or even if he was, then somehow get rid of him. So according to Fusion GPS, Podesta goes and finds donors. Some of them are the Silicon Valley donors. And to sponsor the continuing, you know, so-called work by Fusion GPS, by Christopher Steele. So all the same characters. And at the same time, a man called Dan Jones, who used to be Dianne Feinstein's Senate staffer, his company gets funding from Soros. And this is all, by the way, documented. And so this combination of Soros funding and Silicon Valley funding and some other people yet unknown embark on the continuation of this campaign. And we know that these people, these characters, meet with Jake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan is current national security advisor, but Jake Sullivan was also the one who is responsible for the original plan of setting up a story that Trump had the secret communications with Russia. And the plan, that, as it was, as told by numerous people, including Christopher Steele, was to target, in this case, obviously the media, the FBI, but also so-called anti-Trump Republicans, including John McCain. And that is, so this is when we have David Kramer, who's a sidekick to John McCain. So now deceased senator. You remember he was involved also in, you know, distributing the Steele dossier. And so the target for, if previously the target for this operation was American electorate, which is that they wanted, you know, Trump not to be elected, now the target becomes Republican leadership, because they want to show to the Republican leadership that Trump is a national security risk. And that basically the party of Ronald Reagan is about to elect a Manchurian or a Kremlin candidate, or install him rather. And they want to ensure that that Trump doesn't, you know, his election doesn't get ratified, or that the Republicans himself remove Donald Trump. And for that, it looks like, from a few pieces altogether, that looks like that's what, why Sussman and potentially others go to the CIA. Why CIA, we don't yet know, presumably because FBI already rejected this. And then the CIA looks at the data. They also don't, you know, they also conclude that it's not believable, but for some reason they pass it on back to the FBI. And they add this other story about Yota phones, which is this Russian-made phones that apparently they say that Trump team was communicating secretly with Russia on top of that secret Alpha Bank channel. That information gets back to the FBI. The FBI then reopen the investigation, apparently. And this is what we can piece together from various documents. And then Jake Sullivan goes on CNN, and now we're talking March 2017, to say that the FBI is indeed investigating Trump for secret communication channels with Russia. How does he know that, right? Like, who told him this? Well, presumably people who ensure that the FBI gets this information. And that's around the time of Comey, Brennan, and all that lot, you know, obviously going to Congress and saying that they are indeed investigating Trump for being a asset of Russia, and also people in the Trump campaign. So it looks like the events in February, March were all coordinated for the reason of getting rid of the president.
Fabulous. Fabulous explanation. Durham has to reveal that to the public, although I hesitate. Just for a thought, Svetlana, did they know, any of the names that you just went through, that the information was bogus? Did they know when Sussman took it to the CIA, did he know it was bogus information that had been laughed at the FBI? Did Jake Sullivan know it was bogus? Did Comey at the FBI know it was bogus? That would be an important fact, because I can see them rationalizing now, we thought there was something to it. But we've been told repeatedly in the trial that was just concluded at the FBI, several people at the FBI, who some of whom testified, realized it was bogus information within moments of looking at it. It's odd, isn't it?
Well, this is where my story becomes highly relevant, because your listeners will recall I was accused of seducing recently retired head of Defense Intelligence Agency with highest level security clearance, which was actually renewed by the Obama administration in 2016, highest level security clearance. I was accused of seducing him and getting him to work for Russian intelligence. And this allegation came to light when, so we're talking about Michael Flynn, when Trump appointed him as national security advisor. And identical story happens where the FBI received this information from another confidential human source. So Yoffe was one, and Sussman kind of was, because he went obviously to his friend James Baker. In my case, it was someone else called Stephen Halper. But it's all part of the same, Hillary Clinton plan to tie Trump to Russia that we talked about. And the FBI immediately write down that the information was implausible. This is literally the words of the agent who received it. And he said that it's not likely, it's implausible that the head of the DIA could have, disappeared with a Russian agent with nobody noticing it and reporting it, because the events were supposed to take place in 2014 and suddenly comes to light through the CHS, confidential human source informer, in 2016. And it's never been reported before. That's just nonsense, right? And that's what the FBI writes down. And they say, look, there's no derogatory information on Flynn and Lukova. Case closed, pretty much. It should have been, right? And we're talking about August 2016. So pretty much similar timeline to the Alpha Bank allegations. What happens next? They don't close the investigation. They run it until January. Same thing happens. And then in January, clearly these agents, because we have their text messages, they're nervous about this, so they write text messages to each other. It's all the same characters as in Alpha Bank, saying, look, this is getting too deep. Let's just close down this investigation, because obviously Flynn is about to get hold of all these files because he's an NSA now, right? And Trump, obviously, and his team, his whole national security team is going to find out about this operation. And so they want to close it down, right? And then Strzok writes a text message to the agent who's running the case saying, don't close this because the seventh floor ordered not to. Again, seventh floor, McCabe and Kobe. So, of course, they knew. This is identical copycat thing, which is that they knew it's bogus, but they ordered to keep those investigations open because that was the only way in which they can remove Trump. And then the third aspect to that is, remember, is January, February is exactly also end of January. So the same timeline, identical. So this is just as Trump has been inaugurated. We find out that Igor Danchenko, who is the next person, by the way, to stand trial in the Durham investigation. So his case is going to be heard in Virginia in September. So he was supposed to be a primary subsource for Steele. He was supposed to be source for Steele. And for the first time, the FBI interviewed him, despite him allegedly providing intelligence for over 6 months. The FBI, for the first time, interviewed him in January 2017. Again, same time frame. It transpires, quote unquote, transpires, obviously they knew before, but they put on the record that the information was bogus. And in fact, it wasn't Igor Danchenko, who is a Brookings guy, a Brookings Institution guy, who was providing this information to Steele, but it was actually somebody called Charles Dolan, who is a Hillary Clinton acolyte. He was providing this false information that was fed into the Steele dossier, which was fed into the FBI and the media. And the FBI find that out in January. They say they found it out. They must have known this before, but they officially put it on the record. But they don't do anything about it. And Comey and Clapper and Brennan all go on stage, in terms of presenting to the Congress, and all say that they're investigating Trump and his team for the Russia collusion.
Svetlana Lakova, the author of The Spy Who Changed History and Spygate Exposed, commenting on the Michael Sussman not guilty verdict, what we know about Michael Sussman's activities both before and after the election, what we don't know yet about how and why a great number of people who are prominent in the Russiagate matter of 2016-2017 continued, persisted to continue in advancing the falsehood, the obvious falsehood of the Randy Jaffe, Michael Sussman allegations. She's reasoned carefully as to how this was put together. Still, we have much to learn because this wasn't Donald Trump. This was the President of the United States. And of all the people Svetlana's mentioned, the one that seems most peculiar to me is James Comey. He was an official representative of the government. And if he was receiving information that he knew was bogus, well, I don't need to fill in the blanks. We've got more to learn. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.